This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Marcella! Every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good morning to you and yours. February the 23rd, 2021. It is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. It's a Tuesday. Little CMT today. Cuddle, marry, trash. We'll do that about 6:45 this morning. Mike Tenenbaum, who's already up and already retweeting things that are going out on the Twitter sphere, will join us at 7 o'clock this morning. We say good morning to the guys. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you doing this Tuesday?
I'm doing really well. I feel energized. I feel motivated. I feel excited. Now, probably not as energized as our one Rick DiPietro, though. Correct, Rick?
Yeah, feeling good, Dave. Feeling real good. Islanders win. Hockey team wins. Duke, big win against Virginia the other day. I mean, it's all... It's all coming up roses.
Everybody getting wins against Virginia these days. Everybody.
I thought you were going to say Duke with a big win against Syracuse last night, but no, you had to take it there. So a couple of big pieces of news for you before we get started with a little bit of baseball here. So your hockey team won last night, correct?
Both teams, yep.
Now you say both teams. For some reason, you coached the JV team as well?
Yeah, we had JV big win in the first game, and then we had the varsity team won the second game. Yeah, it was awesome.
And
great.
Comfortably. This was a rout, yes?
Good win. Yeah, good win for the first game. Not a lot of practice time trying to figure out lines and everything else, but it was a good first one. It was nice to get everyone back. I mean, you can just see how, I mean, these kids, it's been a tough year on them to get them back and like just to have them with, you know, but especially the seniors. I mean, playing on their high school team, it's a big deal. And, I forgot how much. I mean, you don't realize how much you miss it until you're finally back and coaching a game. But it was great.
Were you nervous? Were you anxious heading in?
Yeah. Oh my God! You hear my voice right now. I couldn't stop screaming. Cassie tried to get me to wear glasses too.
You win the game 7-1, hammer the opposition, and you were still screaming your head off during the game.
Well, yeah. You got time, all the different things. I mean, where to move the puck? You know, when to change. I didn't like how we finished. I mean, we were 7-0 going into like the last. Minute and 30, we gave up a late one, which I mean is a former goalie. I mean, you gotta seal the deal with the shutout. Oh, so things to work on. Good coaching points, David. You don't always. Sometimes it's good when it's not perfect.
No, I understand that, but I'm wondering, Chris, why there has to be screaming when you're leading 7-0 into the third period?
Because, Dave, it's about the process. It's about making sure that the guys stay committed to what Rick is trying to teach them, the fundamentals, the final points of the game. That's why.
Okay.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about, Dave. This is what we're talking about.
That's fine.
Well, Rico, he doesn't understand. He never played high-level sports.
Good point.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. I could have played college tennis easily.
Well, except you were banned from tennis because you hit an angel in the face with your racket.
I was not banned. It was frowned upon at the time. It was a different time, a different era.
So why didn't you play college tennis, Dave?
I had enough. It's a lot.
Well, okay, but doesn't that mean that you didn't play high-level sports?
Well, what do you consider high level? I mean, I
would say college and above, yeah.
Okay. All right, then I guess I didn't play high level sports. Yeah, but yeah. I could have.
Okay.
I could have.
But you didn't.
I did not. That is correct. And another piece of news for Rick. The blue check mark is back. Congratulations.
Thank you,
sir. Very exciting news.
Thank you. I'm telling you, it was a big day. I got home after the hockey games.
Do you think the throttling win had anything to do with the receipt of the blue check mark in return?
No, absolutely not. No, I think it was actually me pretending like I didn't want it. And now all of a sudden, like, you know what, I'm good. I'm fine. No big deal. Or maybe it was just I actually did what they told me to do and was update the security. The security on the account. I got a beautiful email, though. We fixed your problem. All set. Blue check mark is back.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Nice.
How quickly? So at what point did you notice that you received the blue check mark back?
Not until I got the email.
So you got the email. Now, how quickly after receiving the email, and I'm sure the first thing you did was check to make sure it was in fact back, how quickly before you told somebody, I got it back?
I didn't tell anybody.
It's too late. Come on.
Well, everyone was asleep. I didn't get the email till like, I mean, the email actually, I'm looking at it right now. God, I got it at 7, but I didn't get home from the game until around 8. And then I had to go through the cleansing process. I had to take the clothes off, shower, and everything else. By the time I got to bed, everyone was sleeping. No one to tell.
You didn't wake up Cassie and be like, Cassie, listen, great news. She's like, not now. I'm tired. No, no, no. The blue check mark is back.
No, I couldn't do it. She was the poor thing with the baby up. I mean, she was sound asleep. And then, I mean, she did try to send me to the game to coach with like some fog-free, like it looked like racquetball glasses. That I couldn't do it. I couldn't. There was no way I could get in front of the team and give a motivational speech with these things on. I couldn't do it.
Now, is she of the mindset that you wore the motivational glasses or that you didn't?
Well, here's the thing. I told her I was going to wear them. Uh-huh. And then when I came home, hoping that she was still up, I had them on. And little did I realize that when I did speak to her, the game was being live streamed. So I said, those glasses weren't that bad. They didn't fog up at all. She goes, oh, really? You wore them? I said, yeah, they were great.
Don't you find it's better just to not lie? Just because they know everything anyway. Just don't lie.
That's the one piece of advice I will give, Dave. Happy marriage. Like, just marriage in general. Like, the wife has this extra sense that she develops where the second you try to tell, like, they know you can't do anything without them knowing.
No.
Like, when I used to take... Here's a perfect example. So, I mean, Canty, when you're revved up after a game, like you got, like, especially a big win, right? Or even a bad loss, it's so hard to get to sleep. And if you're playing the next night, you got to go to sleep. So I would, you know, occasionally take an Ambien. And for some reason, every time I took an Ambien, I'd get a little frisky. I'm going to be honest. Like, just when you're about to hit that wall where you're going to sleep, like, I got a little frisky.
But it seems like that's the perfect formula to shut it down, though.
Well, yeah, right.
Little sexy time and yes. Ambien.
So Cassie finally became aware of what was going on with the whole Ambien situation. And then, like, I couldn't even take... The second I would go to put an Ambien in my mouth in another room, I would hear, are you taking an Ambien? I was like, how do you know I just took an Ambien? You couldn't just know that. She knew it.
They know everything.
Everything.
So here's another word. So we got popcorn, we got mum, and now we got room also. Say room again.
Room?
Room.
Room?
Room.
Yeah, I got a weird accent. I really
do.
Yeah,
you do.
It's like a muddish, like Boston, Canadian. It's a weird accent.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Yeah.
You're like a mutt. There. Yeah. Yeah.
You're like a mutt. All right, so a lot for us to do today. Like we mentioned, CMT coming your way at 6:45. Mike Tenenbaum, 7 o'clock. A lot of conversation before that. We'll get to the Panarin story, which I thought was a joke yesterday when I saw it. I took a nap. I woke up, and I saw Larry Brooks was reporting this. I was like, well, this can't be true. This is fake, and... Amazingly enough, it is not. So we'll get there in a couple minutes as well. Knicks and Nets, certainly. Knicks with a big game at the Garden tonight. Fans are back at the Garden tonight, which we can't wait for. But let's start with the Yankees and the pitching staff. And already, I mean, we are moments into the start of spring, and already the Yankees suffering an injury. Clark Schmidt is going to be shut down for about a month, it sounds like, Chris.
Yeah, it's not the news that you want to hear as a Yankees fan. I mean, the fact that he's got a strain in his elbow this early in the spring training. But from all the reports, there's no damage to his UCL. They're going to shut him down for about a month, and they'll see where he's at that point. But he was somebody that figured to be in the mix as a potential answer for that fifth spot in the rotation. And so now you're taking away, you know, a potential avenue that you have to solidify the rotation. I mean, I still think you got, you know, some good guys that you're going to take a look at. Davey Garcia is going to be in there. You know, you'll see what happens with some of the other younger prospects, see if any of those guys can elevate. But, I still feel solid about the starting pitching and all the arms that Aaron Boone has. But, I mean, not having Clark Schmidt as a part of that group that's competing, I feel like that's a bit of a blow.
Well, because you like what you've seen from him. I mean, he's got good stuff. And once you get past Gerrit Cole, I mean, there's a lot of hope, but there's a lot of question marks. And I think when you hear Aaron Boone talk, he's leaning on the fact that you do have depth. You have a lot of arms, which you're going to need coming off a 60-game season. But, you know, you're just hoping a couple of those guys step up and hit. And he was one of those guys that you were hoping could step up and fill one of those spots.
Yes, and certainly you're upset about that news. And I know they say a month, but we've seen before where a month turns into two, into three, and God knows what that turns into. And to have that on, you know, like the first or second day of training is is not good news. And you're right, though. I mean, the Yankees are, and this is what's going to be a success for them this season. They need the Klubers. They need the Montgomerys. They need the Garcias, right? They need the Schmidts when he comes back healthy. They need some of those guys, the Taillons, to step up. Because if they don't step up, they're probably not going to achieve what they're looking to achieve this season.
Yeah, but you know what it is, and Chris is the Yankees fan. It's more of the same with the New York Yankees over the last couple of years. One of the things we always point to with the Yankees is, you know, on paper, everyone healthy, they look great. Unfortunately for the Yankees, they haven't been able to stay healthy. And it was like, okay, maybe, you know, we have, you know, this is the year where we're going to avoid the injuries and we're going to finally stay healthy and have it this early in spring in camp to have someone go down already. I mean, that sucks if you're a Yankees fan, because that's the last thing you want to deal with. You're trying to win a World Series and have every single year where, I mean, it's big names going out of the lineup. At a certain point, it's like enough is enough. I mean, this has got to change at some point in just this early on to have this happen. It's not a great sign.
It certainly isn't. And he was a guy that you thought was going to be a back end of the rotation guy. And let's take a listen to Aaron Boone. Here is the update. And it's not terribly negative, but still, it's not positive. And here's the update on Clark Schmidt.
He came out of his bullpen the night after he threw his bullpen, and he's got a common extensor strain. It's on the other side of the elbow, which I think in the big picture is a good thing. He's had an MRI. His ligament, his Tommy John, is intact and fine. But he is going to be shut down for a few weeks and just kind of going through range of motion things and making sure he's symptom free before he starts throwing again.
So that's certainly not great news. I mean, I know it doesn't sound like he's painting a picture where it's going to be an extended period of time, but you can't feel good to sit here on February 23rd and already have a piece that you're counting on be banged up to start spring training.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity that's missed, right? I mean, for Clark Schmidt, he's coming into this situation. It's a lot of show and prove. He's had some flashes in the past. But, I mean, spring training gives you an opportunity to build that trust with your manager, like to know that you're capable of being able to go out there and do the job. And now he's missing that opportunity for a month. And so once we get to the regular season, I mean, it's a matter of, do you trust him enough to be one of those guys that you can depend on, give the ball every fifth day, and know that he's capable of going out there and giving you five or six quality innings? Like, that's the thing that you just don't know. That's a question mark that could have, you know, that spring training could have gone a ways to being able to answer. I know it's not the same as the regular season, but again, you just want to see him trending toward being a guy that you can rely on in the regular season, and this injury all but takes away that opportunity.
So let me pose this question now to both of you. Obviously, Cole, far and away, is the one that you trust the most. Who do you trust second most? Is it Montgomery right now heading into the season?
Is it Montgomery? I mean, well, here's the thing. I mean, what I trust the most, and I think what the Yankees are leaning on and what they are hoping happens and think is going to happen, is that from all the reports, because Corey Kluber has rehabbed with the Yankees, with the Yankees, whatever you want to call them. I mean, and he's had nothing but great things to say about how Corey Kluber looks, is that they're expecting him to be, you know, to look like maybe not vintage Corey Kluber, but a version of Corey Kluber to jump in behind Gerrit Cole. And then Jameson Taillon, who, I mean, again, you're talking about two guys. I mean,
Kluber, big risk, though.
That's a hell of a question, Dave. That really is a hell of a question. It is, because I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you would want to say Montgomery based on what we saw him do in the postseason last year. I mean, but I just don't know. I don't know that I trust him to be a frontline guy. You know, I like him more as a fourth or fifth starter, and I think that's the ideal role that Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman will have for him. But I mean, the health of the other guys might not allow you to do that. You know, if Kluber's not healthy, if he can't get through the regular season, Taillon, if he can't get through the regular season, then you're talking about Jordan Montgomery having to be bumped up in your rotation, and I don't know that that's the best thing for him or the club.
We're going to need all these arms, though. I mean, that's the reality of this upcoming season. You're playing a full 162.
Correct.
I mean, the amount of innings these guys pitched last year, I mean, there's, and especially now you got young arms, too. There's only so many innings that these guys are going to be able to pitch.
That's right.
So you're going to need all these arms, and have one go down this early and be shut down. It's not what you want, but again, it's going to put, I mean, this is why, you know, Domingo Germán is still on this team. He's going to be crucial.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
Your hockey team won last night, correct?
Good win. Cassie tried to get me to wear glasses, too. She did try to send me to the game to coach with, like, some fog-free racquetball glasses. There was no way I could get in front of the team and give a motivational speech with these things on. Couldn't do it.
Their time is done. It's over.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Now, is she of the mindset that you wore the motivational glasses or that you didn't?
I told her I was going to wear them. And then when I came home, hoping that she was still up, I had them on. And little did I realize that when I did speak to her, the game was being live-streamed. I said, those glasses weren't that bad. They didn't fog up at all. She goes, oh, really? You wore them? I said, yeah, they were great.
This is DCR.
You can't do anything without them knowing.
No.
On 98.7 ESPN.
They're like detectives, those wives. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, the big 6 o'clock hour. So CMT coming up this hour. And this today is the anniversary of a very famous event in sports. Very famous, and we'll get there later. And I have an interaction with this person, which you will greatly, greatly enjoy. So, people allowed back at the Garden later tonight. Knicks, Warriors, Steph Curry supposed to play. He practiced yesterday after being a last-minute scratch on Saturday down in Charlotte. I can't wait. I'm looking forward, because the Knicks are fun now anyway, and they're an enjoyable team to watch. Now to have the fans there, I think it's going to be a really fun dynamic at the Garden tonight.
Yeah, but more importantly, I mean, you said it. I mean, this is another opportunity for the Knicks to get back to 500.
Yep.
I mean, that's what they're chasing. And it's a good test. I mean, especially what you're going to have. It looks like Wiseman might play. Looney yep. might play. You'll have Steph back. So this is another good test for them.
No, it'll be a good test for them. I mean, but you got to love the fact that the Knicks play better at home and the Warriors struggle when they're away from the Chase Center. So, I mean, that's something that you got going in your favor. You've won four of the last five. They've lost two in a row, and they lost to the Magic and the Charlotte Hornets. So, I mean, it's not like this is a team that you're not capable of competing against. You won the regular season matchup y'all had earlier on in the year. So I feel like this is a good opportunity for the Knicks to kind of set the tone and finish out the first half of the season the right way. Going into the All-Star break, you want to feel good about yourself. This would be another one of those good wins that you could call, that you could kind of hang your hat on and feel good about where you're at.
What do we have? We have this week and next week, and then we have the All-Star break, right?
That is correct, Dave.
And I don't think there's anything daunting on the schedule that you look at with the Knicks. There's no game that you say, oh, God, it's, you know, there's no... Not that anybody's daunting nowadays.
No, but I mean, you're talking about after this game, they got Sacramento, Indiana, Detroit, San Antonio, and then finishing up with the Pistons again at home. So that's your schedule.
So how many games, just run that through again, how many games before we get to the midway point of the season?
You got six more games, including tonight, Dave.
So there's no reason, at a minimum, you don't go 3-3 if you're the next.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Why can't I converse? I can't even talk to you?
I don't understand. We just went from talking about how great it is going to have it's going to be to have fans in the building tonight, trying to get back to 500. Now all of a sudden you're forecasting the next six games what they should finish.
Why can't I do that? I can't look and say. You got Detroit. Just went through the schedule. I got Detroit twice. I can't think that I can go 3-3 in my next six.
I'm on the ship, Omar.
I didn't say 5-1. It's a realistic 3-3.
You don't learn your lesson. You just can't live in the moment. You can't do it. It's the sports talk radio, and you can't do it. You got to start forecasting, making predictions, hot takes.
Is that a hot take?
It's amazing to me.
If I came out and said I expect the Knicks to go 6-0 in the next six games, that'd be a hot take. 3-3?
Yeah.
To
beat Detroit twice in Sacramento to get the three wins?
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're at, though. I mean, you got to relax a little bit. You got to pull back. You can't help yourself. You went from not being on the boat.
And why should I?
To guaranteeing playoffs to now, I mean, talking about six game stretches.
First of all, you know what? Oh, look at you. You're like the Russian government. That's what you're like. You're putting war. This never happened. I never guaranteed playoffs. I didn't do anything like that. I said I expect that they should be able to get into the postseason. I didn't sit here and turn into Joe Namath and say I guarantee they're going to the playoffs. Why do you keep doing that?
It's mind-boggling.
You're pretty much guaranteeing a playoff spot is what you did.
It's not what I did.
And for you to say that, it's bad journalism by you. It's bad talk show hosting by you.
No, it's great talk show hosting.
It's not.
Journalism, I agree with. I'm not a journalist, though. Don't worry about it.
But it's not true. It's not accurate. I didn't say anything like that. I said I expect them to go to the playoffs. And you know what? When you guys were asked the question yesterday, you did the same thing. You said,
I did, Rick, Dave.
I'm guilty of that. Listen, it's not that I disagreed with you when you said that you expect them to go to the playoffs. I just didn't understand why you felt the need to touch the money. Things are going in a good direction for the Knicks. And how often have we been able to say that over the last 6 or 7 years? Not very many times. So, I mean, I just didn't understand why you would jump to the expectations of being in the playoffs and we haven't even finished the first half of the year. They hadn't even come out with the schedule for the second half of the season. And you're talking playoffs.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a guarantee. As far as the people have heard and know, you made a guarantee.
You're the Jim Mora of the program where you can't even think about playoffs, and I'm thinking about playoffs.
I like to live in the moment because I don't want to get myself all ramped up to be disappointed. It's happened too many times.
I mean, 66% of the teams in the Eastern Conference are going to go to the postseason.
Playoffs? Dave, some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this, Dave.
Ken Connolly tweets in. He says, HDumpty39, and I'll give that Twitter handle because it has the beautiful check mark now, is too superstitious thinking that Rothenberg ESPN is jinxing the Knicks.
Dave, yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles won a Super Bowl because of you. A Super
Fair
Bowl.
Point.
I think it's safe to say that you've already shown your powers.
I have that level of authority and power?
I don't know how you could not see that. I mean, you laughed in Andrew Gundling's face. The poor guy was almost in tears. Carson Wentz's leg was almost snapped in half, and then they end up winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but look at how that's come back around for me now, though.
But they still have a Super Bowl.
Won the Super Bowl. Who cares?
Well, I'm sure he's not thrilled about the situation with the Eagles, but you know, you're right. That still pains me. That'll never go away.
Well, of course, and you caused it. The guy who
like
called his wife
a
jinx for a year. I will say this, too, though. I mean, your initial point, which is a good point, you know, excitement, chance to get the 500, going up against Golden State, you're going to have fans in Madison Square Garden. As a player, the one thing I will say that I did, you know, you do notice when you're playing, and now it's going to be, I mean, because you haven't had any fans, the 10% will feel like you have a packed house, is momentum in games is easier to hold on to longer when you have your
fans.
Home crowd.
Yeah. I would think so. Now how are they going to do it, Chris? I would imagine, is it going to only be lower bowl? Like if you buy tickets or you're at this game, you're within shouting distance of the court, they're not going to open up the upper decks to the fan, right?
Yeah, I don't imagine that they would, Dave, but quite honestly, I don't know. I have no idea how they're going to do it. But, I mean, they are going to have the protocols in place. Like, people are going to have to go through, you know, a process in order to get into the building and then be ushered to their seats. And that's in the interest of safety. So, I mean, when it comes down to would you feel comfortable and confident that you're going to be safe while you're at the venue, I keep landing on that answer having to be yes, man. I know other people have their own opinions about it, but as far as I'm concerned, like, would I feel safe going into that building tonight to watch a game? I absolutely would.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Because you got to imagine, we're looking at, what, 10%, so around 2,000 people? You have to figure it can be spread out to the extent that you're not going to be on top of someone else. I know you have to wear your mask, so I don't know that I would go just because it's a lot of hoops to jump through to be able to go to a game now, but would I feel comfortable going to a game, confident that I'm not going to leave that game with COVID? Yeah, I would feel confident with that.
Well, where else are you going where you know that everyone in the building's been...
Nowhere.
Had two negative tests.
Nowhere.
There's nowhere.
I don't think there's anywhere in the world you could go where you'd say you absolutely know that everyone that you're within shouting distance of has had two negative tests.
I mean, you telling me, so I mean, basketball, I mean, going from, I mean, where you live and then, you know, trying to get to Madison Square Garden. But you're telling me right now, you know, as we move forward, Mets game, beautiful day out, that you wouldn't love to go to one of those games?
I would love to go to a Mets game. And you know what? And I know this is a weird thing to say. I think that if you go to a game now, think of the advantages of only having, for a Mets game, 5,000 people. I don't have to worry about it taking an hour to get into Citi Field. I don't have to worry about, you know, people slobbering all over me, sitting behind me and sweating on me during the course of a game. Like, there's a little bit of you get your own little area now in the field.
That's like going to a game in Tampa. This is why I love going to a game in Tampa.
Yeah.
I can, it's like free range Rick where foul balls, I mean, I'm all over the place.
That's
with foul
your
balls.
Section. Name your section night at Tampa Stadium, right?
Do you ever catch a foul ball at a game?
Yes.
Do you remember who hit it?
Catch, too.
You remember
beautiful
who hit it?
Beautiful catch. Aminu Muhammad, baby. Why did you play that? Yes, one at a game.
Do you remember who hit it?
Chris Bryant.
Nice. Two-handed, one-handed?
Two-handed, and I almost dropped it, but I caught it.
Nice.
It was a high pop-up, too.
Well, you don't realize how much, like, it seems awesome when you see it on TV until all of a sudden the ball's coming at you and you realize how fast it's actually moving.
I got to be honest, I got very nervous.
Yeah, but you came, I mean, I see you in action on the softball field. We don't give you enough credit. I mean, you're a pretty good athlete.
We don't give him enough credit?
That's right.
Trying to build him up, Chris.
Did you see what happened between him and Rosenberg at the beach pass a few years back?
But I still have nice hands. You were wowed by my hands before the show that day.
That's true. You did have nice hands. You know what? I didn't realize how receptive the midsection of Rosenberg would be.
Exactly.
It like sucked in. It actually sucked in the footballs.
Yeah, I don't want to talk.
I don't know how he caught those passes. I was throwing it as hard as I could.
Yeah, and I don't blame Dave either. I got to give him a pass on that one. That was so poorly run.
Nothing has been more poorly executed in the history of our radio station than that event.
Well, we're doing it in the middle of a monsoon, Dave. So
it has never rained harder than it did that day.
Yeah, but we're supposed to have legit jugs machines.
Yeah,
not those Fugazi jug. It wouldn't even the ball barely it like just
right,
like
petered out of that thing.
Yeah, just like it just fell out of the thing.
Yeah, it just like flopped onto the floor. All right, that's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. So you had a good question, Rick, and I want to revisit this one. You mentioned it during the break, and I think it's interesting. Most pressure on the Yankees, and we can certainly open this up to the listeners, 800-919-3776. You can go anywhere. You can go Judge. You can go Stanton. You can go Herman. You can go Cashman. You can go Boone. You can go anywhere. Most pressure at all on the New York Yankees. So sit, think about it. We'll come back. We'll get into it. Want to get your calls on it as well. Huge season for the Yankees. I think if they don't go to the World Series, it's a failed season for the Yankees. I believe that. You can get all hot and bothered by that. And I think RJ, who's a Yankees fan, and Raymond, who's a Yankees fan, would agree with me. And Chris would probably as well. But we'll find out. Most pressure on the 2021 Yankees belongs to who?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
But we continue with the Yankees. We'll hear from Francisco Lindor in just a couple minutes as well. Let's go to Robin Wayne. Rob, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Rob? How you doing?
Good. I like the snow to go away. I think the biggest pressure really is on Cashman. As I've been a Yankee fan since about 1961, and I watched Boston go in a tank and then come back and win four World Series since the last time the Yankees won. Last time they won, Gardner was only in like his second year. And we always are in a soft rebuild mode. When they sign Stanton, there's no way they can sign Judge, because they won't go over the salary cap now for quality pitching, which may cost them the season anyway in the playoffs. And then you've got a guy like Sanchez. He's got the same batting average as Dave Kingman had throughout his career. He's a poor fielder, and he can't really pick people off from first, or, you know, he can't make behind-the-back throws to the bases. He just isn't a good, you know, fielding catcher. And they have a lot of places to plug. I mean, I think Frazier's a good hitter, still unproven. They paid Hicks $70 million for 10 years. But definitely by paying Stanton, they close the door on Judge. And if they don't get a bunch of players, not draft picks, back for him, they're going to be in this boat forever. They're never going to get back to the World
Series. So you would trade Judge?
Well, you have to. They're not going to go over to salary cap by that much money to sign Judge.
But you don't even. But Rob, here's the thing, though, too. I mean, this CBA is up after the season. You don't even know what the luxury cap threshold is going to be in the new CBA.
Well,
that was part of what aggravated me about what the Mets were doing. Is that this is the year to do it.
Yeah.
I'll say one thing, and then I'll let you guys go. The Yankees have been relying since 2009 with long ball wins games. Long ball wins games during the season. It never wins playoffs. It just doesn't.
I think we agree with you, Rob. But let me ask you this. You think if Aaron Judge, Chris, has a monster season, that there's any way that the Yankees can move on from him and trade him? I don't see that as a real possibility.
No, I don't see it as a possibility either. If he goes out there and he plays in 130 games and he produces and hits 50-plus home runs, there's no way he's going anywhere else. But the question is he going to be able to stay healthy enough to play in that amount of games? Is he going to have the opportunity to have that type of production? That's always been the question. But if he proves it in this year, then you got to think that after this season, the Yankees would extend him. I mean, they put the Judge's chamber out in right field. How many players have they put a section in this Yankee Stadium for in the history of the organization? So, I mean, they want to give him every opportunity to go out there and prove he can stay healthy so they can sign him to a long-term deal. Like, they want that. That's a part of why Brian Cashman has been judicious in doling out contracts and going after players, because he knows he's going to have some money set to the side in case those young guys do step up and they are able to produce. In Aaron Judge's case, he is able to stay healthy.
Yeah, but it seems like, I mean, those guys that you were counting on, I mean, I think everyone had, you know, Gary Sanchez penciled in as one of those guys that would be, you know, up for a big contract and the Yankees would have to sign. That doesn't look like it's the case anymore. Right? So you take him off the list.
Right.
You still got Gleyber Torres, who, I mean, we'd all expect to be, you know, a Yankee for a long time. But yep. I mean, Aaron Judge, age-wise, yeah, it stinks. I mean, the fact that he's getting into free agency at 31 is not great for him. But, I mean, since Derek Jeter, he's the next closest thing to being the captain of this team. He is the captain of the team. He's not the captain, but he's the captain of the team.
And you're the Yankees. You don't move on from guys who are in the primes of their career.
This is a different Yankees, though, Dave. This is a different Yankees. It is. This is not. I think that's the hard part for the Yankees fan that was used to the George Steinbrenner Yankees. Whatever it would take. Financially, to put a winning product on the field, they would do. And the Yankees have won. But, I mean, Chris has said it. If they don't win the World Series, for him, it's a disappointment. And they've been using this luxury tax threshold as a salary cap. Because they feel like, you know, once you get to the playoffs, it's a crapshoot. And why are we going to spend all this extra money when, you know, there's teams like the Rays, for example, that barely spend any money and end up in the World Series? Which I don't love, to be honest. I don't love it. The fact that this Yankees team has the talent to win a World Series and Cashman goes out and does what he did with the pitching staff, that would concern me a little bit, because there's a lot of hoping going on right now.
Yeah, and why not go out there and make the moves that give you the best chance to absolutely win? Like, when you got chances to win championships, you got to take advantage of them, because they don't come along very often. And in the Yankees' case, you're talking about going an entire decade without getting back to the World Series. So, I mean, it feels like this is a team that was capable of doing that. Why not go out and pay the extra and go over the luxury tax threshold for this particular team, knowing the opportunity that's in front of you? I mean, in the American League, you got to say it's really the Yankees and everybody else.
It absolutely is.
So, I mean, it's like, why wouldn't you go out and spend a little extra to fortify the starting pitching staff so you can feel comfortable about the frontline guys that you have other than Gerrit Cole? Like, hoping and wishing on a star doesn't seem like it was the right way to go. But, I mean, time will prove whether Brian Cashman's approach was the right one.
And here's the other thing, though, too. Let's just say all things go right for the Yankees as far as their pitching staff is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So, Gerrit Cole is Gerrit Cole. We all expect that. I mean, that seems like the one thing you can rely on is Gerrit Cole is going to be
right.
Great.
Yeah.
Kluber is good, and Tyone is good. Here's the thing, though. Depending on how you manage these guys in their innings, what are these guys... One who's pitched, I mean, Tyone the last 2 years has pitched 37 innings. Last 2 years, Corey Kluber's pitched 36 combined innings. How many innings are these guys going to be able to pitch? And what are they going to look like by the time you need them the most in the postseason?
That's a great point. I mean, you might have to massage it and baby it the entire season, where you don't put them out for the fifth inning or the sixth inning.
Well, what's that do with your bullpen, though? So now we're getting in the same situation.
Yeah, but I think that's the age-old concern for the Yankees. They're going to win 93, 95, 97, even 100 games, upwards of that. But what are they when you get to the postseason? And that's got to be the concern.
But that's been the biggest problem with them, too, is we always, like... Why the health is such a concern is because of the timing of these guys getting hurt. Like, it's always, and Chris experienced this winning in a Super Bowl. They weren't the best team, but they were playing the best football. And it felt like, you know, leading into the playoff run, then all of a sudden every playoff game, they were getting better and better, hitting their stride. And then by the time they got to the Super Bowl, they were hitting on all cylinders. When you've missed it, you know, you miss extended periods of time, you don't allow yourself to get into that groove. So when you're going into the postseason, you're playing your best baseball.
I want to ask you this question, though, Rico, because, I mean, you consume more baseball than anybody that I know. Like, is it different when it comes to the starting pitcher? Because I get it with the guys that play every single day. Is it different when it comes to pitching?
I think it's a little bit different.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I just, as far as, you know, the everyday position players, like being locked in at the plate, how you're seeing the baseball, that takes, I mean, that takes a bunch of, you know, reps, bunch of repetition.
Yeah.
I think the big thing with pitchers is, you know, once you get to that spot, how many innings do you've, like, just the wear and tear in your arm? Like, how much do you have left in the tank to make that?
Can you stay in that groove? Can you stay in that groove?
And you've seen it too. Like, look at the pitching staffs after they make a run to the, look at the starting staffs after they make a run to the World Series that next season.
Well, look at the Nationals last year.
Well, all the innings they pitched, it takes its toll. And now all of a sudden you're talking about a pitching staff that, I mean, really, I mean, Aaron Boone's talking about all this depth. Okay, yeah, there's a lot of supposed talent, and we've seen Kluber, I mean, the Klubot win Cy Young's, and Tyone's got a ton of talent. But when I look at depth, man, I mean, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Mets fan, but, I mean, I'm looking depth 1 through 6 in their rotation. That's depth.
Yes.
You got 6 legit guys.
Well, they're not starting a guy that you look at as a real piece for the future. Peterson doesn't sound like he's going to be in the starting rotation for the Mets. The Mets starting staff, and I think the Yankees are the better team, so let me get that out there. But the Mets starting staff, in my mind, there's a lot less questions than the Yankees have right now.
Yeah, well, exactly right. I mean, look at the staff. I mean, go top to bottom. I mean, you're talking about, even if you added Peterson, that's, I mean, now you're talking 7 with Syndergaard coming back. I mean, you got DeGrom, you got Cookie, you got Stroman, you got Walker, you got Lucchese,
yep.
You got Peterson, and then you got Noah Syndergaard coming back. That's 7.
It's a lot. It is.
And then you added a bunch of guys that can start games if you need them to start games. And you go position by position. I'm telling you what, man. You go position by position, team for team. I mean, the Mets aren't too far off.
No, they're not.
They're really not.
I want to see it, though. I want to.
I know you have to see it
from the Mets.
Well, because no one's got less out of more than the Mets.
Exactly. And last year, everybody goes to the postseason and the Mets can't. They weren't even close.
Now, last year was an embarrassment.
It was an embarrassment.
What they did offensively, they had no right not making the playoffs last year.
Let's go to Justin in Jersey. Justin, you're next up on 98.7.
Guys, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, basically, I'm a big-time Yankee fan. I grew up during the Steinbrenner era, like you say. 4 championships in 5 years. This team is nothing like those guys, first of all. They all got something to prove. And I'm talking about everybody from Gary Sanchez to Cashman. I'm tired of hearing we're going to get arms during the deadline. I'm confident in what we have. And basically, we're the joke at the end of the season. We should be contenders every year.
But you are, though.
Listen,
I understand that you're disappointed that you're not doing what you want to do, Justin, but you're contenders. I mean, you took Tampa to the max and were this far away from winning that series, right? The year before, you took Houston all the way to the end. I mean, stop. Can we stop it with we're a joke? You're disappointed, but a joke is just, it's ridiculous.
Well, what makes it feel like a joke, Dave, is that Brian Cashman said, and this is several seasons ago, that he's not going to jeopardize championships to win one championship, and we're still waiting on the first championship in this dynastic window for the Yankees. Like, that's the part of it that's a little bit of a joke from Yankees fans. So I get where he's coming from. Like, Justin ain't all the way off with this one. Like, to have a team with the lowest payroll in baseball who's in your division beat you on their way to the World Series is laughable.
See, that's the thing that drives me a little bit crazy about the Yankees, too, is I get, you know, how important analytics are for 162 games and everything else, but there is something to be said about playing good baseball. And the Yankees last year did not play a lot of good baseball.
No, not at all.
No, they were not a great team by any stretch.
No, so I mean that. Here's the other thing, though, too. I will point to this one positive for the Yankees fan is, you know, we had the one caller bring up Judge. You should trade Judge because we're not going to sign him because of the luxury tax threshold and everything else. The one positive could be now all of a sudden this season when you're going to need a bunch of different arms because you're going from 60 to 162. Maybe this is the year where all of a sudden, you know, a Davey Garcia does step up, and you have these young pitchers that do step up, which salary-wise sets you up moving forward. Because now you're not spending any money on your rotation.
That's right. Outside of Cole, maybe you don't spend a ton of money on that rotation. All right, find quality candidates and do it fast with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates who fit your job description instantly. Claim a $75 credit on your first post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. I don't know if you know it, Raymond, but we're going to do a CMT today because it is, in fact, Tuesday. So let's have it.
To cuddle.
I'll tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Yes, you are emotionally broken. We'll get to that. But a good day for your emotions yesterday for a lot of reasons, Rick. But we'll get to that. So you guys were talking match. It's a good transition. So you guys crushed Pakoda. I get a sense you guys are coming around, though. I know that there's been some transactions on the roster, but Pakoda's not alone anymore. William Hill Sportsbook. I know, Dave, you're familiar for a lot of reasons.
Yes.
So they have the Mets as the division favorites. They don't have the Mets winning the NL East by, 74 games like Pakoda does. But they are the favorites, followed by the Braves, the Nationals, the Phillies, and the Marlins. So cuddle, marry, or trash the Mets as NL East division favorites.
Oh, my God. Why do you have to do this to me? Because, I've been busting Dave's chops. Now, all of a sudden, you want to put me in the spot.
That's how
you want me to start here?
I'll start here.
You start. All right. I'm gonna trash it. I am. I like the Mets. I think they're a vastly improved team. But I think that Philly is going to be good. I think Washington is going to be very good. And Atlanta, I think that's the best team in the division right now. So I like the Mets. I expect them to go to the postseason via the wild card. But would I sit here and tell you that they are the favorites to win the division? No. I will trash that, and I will trash Pakoda.
You're not slick, Dave. I know what you're doing. You're trashing it in the event that you end up being wrong and they do win the division. You can feel good about
yourself. Well, that'd be great.
Still.
Then it's a win-win.
Here's what I'm going to do, because Dave doesn't play the game right. I am going to cuddle it. I don't want to jinx it by marrying it, but I'm going to cuddle it. I expect Pete to bounce back. The pitching staff is legit. You're better defensively now that you got Lindor. I'm going to cuddle it.
I don't know why you got to go after Pakoda, Dave, too.
Why do you got to go after me? What do you mean I don't play the game right? How do I not play it right?
Because you're all over the place. You're making these crazy takes where if they don't do this, you're going to be disappointed. Now all of a sudden that you can't even cuddle them winning the division.
I don't expect the Mets to win the division. Do you? For the Mets to be the favorite odds on statistically to win the division, I think is crazy.
If they don't expand the playoffs, just let me tell you one thing. You're in the toughest division in baseball. You're going to beat the hell out of each other. You're not getting they're just going to get the wild card. I don't know if they're going to just get the wild card.
Neither do I. Because you got to figure the Dodgers and Padres are both going to get in. You could finish third in this division, win 88 games, and not get into the postseason.
Ouch.
Nobody's safe here. Everyone's catching strays
right
now.
I'm going to cuddle the Mets, just so you know, RJ. So I'm going on the record.
Thank you, Christopher.
I'm cuddling the Mets as the favorites to win the division.
Yes.
You need such reassurance, Rick. It's really very unattractive quality.
Dave's yelling at Rick, Pakoda, the call screen are going to break. It's a lot of problems. All right, this one's making me nervous. Mike Trout said he's talking to the union chief, Tony Clark, once a day. So a lot of pessimism around the new CBA, especially if you follow anyone that writes about baseball at all. So here's my question. Cuddle, marry, or trash that there will be more games played this season, keep in mind, during a pandemic, than there will be next season, when really only labor issues could derail the season.
Well, I'll go first. I'll cuddle it. I don't want to marry it because I don't want to see it happen, but, I mean, this relationship is so contentious. And, I mean, if you're the players, too, looking at what teams have done this year and even last season, I mean, they're using the threshold like it's a hard salary cap. If that's going to be the case, you're going to have these bottom teams start spending money. So this is going to be a huge problem.
Yeah, I'm going to cuddle it too, Rico. And you said it. I mean, the best way to describe the relationship between the owners and the MLBPA is extremely adversarial. And baseball better be careful, both the owners and the players, that they don't overplay their hand. Because, I mean, this public bickering doesn't do anything to attract younger fans and to get more eyeballs on your sport. So that's got to be the biggest concern. You don't want this contentious negotiation to drag out into the court of public opinion, because nobody wins if that happens.
I understand my gameplay will get criticized, but I'm sadly going to marry that. I think you're going to see 162 games this year for Major League Baseball, and there's a better chance that you don't see that next season. So for that reason, I will marry that.
That's one of the most baseball things baseball could ever do.
Of course. Would that surprise anybody, though?
Not at all. So, Colts receiver Michael Pittman Jr. says he's talked to newcomer Carson Wentz.
Love it.
Because
love it.
Michael Pittman Jr., you might wonder why, he wears number 11. And Carson Wentz, all the way back to college, has also worn number 11. So, Pittman Jr. asked about the potential number swap, and he said, I am number 11. Doesn't leave a lot of room for a wiggle there. So, cuddle, marry, or trash, any sort of big deal, any sort of meaning, any sort of animosity at all from Pittman or the Colts to Wentz?
Well, I'm going to trash it. I don't think there's any animosity. But the one thing I will say is Michael Pittman Jr., I don't think he's thought this thing all the way out, because the guy that he's going to be depending on in order to do his job and have production is going to be Carson Wentz. So, I mean, you want your quarterback feeling comfortable. If the numbers are part of the deal, then so be it. I mean, how'd that work out for Chris Godwin down there in Tampa giving up number 12?
I believe he got his phone thrown in the river during a Super Bowl parade.
Correct.
So you can take,
I think he'll be able to buy a new one with all the money he's going to get paid in free agency.
Yeah, I'm gonna trash that as well. I will. I don't think this is gonna be an issue at all. And you know what? You're Tom Brady. You're the greatest of all time. You get whatever number you want. You're Carson Wentz, and you've forced your way out of Philadelphia. I don't think you have as much say. So good for Pittman on keeping number 11.
I gotta cuddle it. I think. I mean, well, one of the things we've heard about Carson Wentz is the lack of leadership and how teammates look at him.
True.
And, I mean, this is, I don't want to say disrespectful, but, I mean, wide receiver, quarterback gets you the ball. I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of financial arrangement you can make for him to be like, no, I'm 11. I don't know. I don't know how much respect he has for Carson Wentz.
I love it.
Yeah, you got to respect the just saying I am number 11. So, moving on here. Fans back in New York State, both the Knicks and the Nets, home tonight. There will be fans in the building. Cuddle, marry, or trash you, personally, attending a sporting event any calendar year of 2021.
Oh, I'll marry that. I think this calendar year, and especially when we get to outside games and the summer and the warm weather, and you feel more comfortable outside anyhow, I'll marry that. I unless we take a turn in the wrong direction, and God forbid that happens, I will be at least one, probably more, sporting events this calendar year.
Yeah, I'm going to get that pregnant and marry it, the whole nine. I can't wait to go to a Mets game.
You're not going to get pregnant before you marry it, though, are you?
I might get so excited that may just happen. And then we'll be engaged before I do.
Like, so an out of wedlock, a fourth category needs to be thrown into this?
Wow. I'm going to marry it, too. I'll be at some Yankees games this spring, no doubt.
All right, and finally, Coach Rick DiPietro got his Twitter verification back during a game he was coaching. Portland, a 7-1 throttling in their season opening win. We actually had people out. I think it was Jordan Ronan we had out at the game covering Coach DiPietro, and here he was on the win.
Yeah, good win for the first game. Not a lot of practice time trying to figure out lines and everything else, but it was a good first one. It was nice to get everyone back. I mean, you can just see how, I mean, these kids, it's been a tough year on them to get them back, and like, especially the seniors. I mean, playing on their high school team, it's a big deal. I forgot how much, I mean, you don't realize how much you miss it until you're finally back and coaching a game, but it was great.
That's great audio quality, too.
Great quality.
Cuddle, marry, or trash, Coach DiPietro keeping his Twitter verification.
I'll marry it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris. We both married.
No, I'm going to marry it. I mean, listen, the guy's going out there and he has a dominant win in his team's debut this season. So, I mean, yeah, I'm absolutely going to marry it. No question.
You know what's amazing, David,
yes,
about that clip is that as the driver of the show, you make me so uncomfortable talking about hockey that naturally in my mind, I have to speed up when I'm talking about hockey.
Don't blame me.
It's your fault.
You need a scapegoat. And I was going to marry that, and I'll still marry it, but you have to do a better job of containing yourself. Why would you blame me for your hockey conversation
in
the 5 o'clock hour?
I just feel like you rushed me through it, so I just got to get as much as I can.
I didn't rush you at all. We started the show. We led the show with your hockey exploits and the team 7-1 win. How can you blame me for rushing you?
I could feel it.
Did I once say, can we move along here? Did I once say, hustle through this take? No.
I could feel you through the Zoom.
That is really, I mean, that, as the great Joe Namath would say,
mind-boggling.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. That really is that you would say something like that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
I don't want the double plow today.
Did he double plow?
Not only did he double plow the other day, Sherry yells down from upstairs yesterday, "You're not going to believe this. The triple plow guy is here." I said, "You got to be kidding me."
In the bedroom or outside?
Outside, thankfully.
Okay.
So I go outside. No, I don't need the sexy music. I go outside. I was empowered. I'm great with vendors, and I walked right up to this guy. I said, "Excuse me, you're not going to plow the driveway here." He goes, "Well, your neighbor said he wants the whole thing plowed." I said, "Well, plow his, and don't touch this driveway."
This is DCR.
"Said, you're sure?" He said, "It could get very icy." I said, "Yeah, I'm sure. Leave me alone."
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah. We get rolling in the 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. A man with a check mark, Mike Tannenbaum, joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Mike, I don't know if you knew this. There was a controversy going on with the show. Rick did not have his Twitter checkmark for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I know you said that could stand in the way of you joining the show. He got it back last night, so I'm glad that all is forgotten and forgiven here.
That was truly outcome determinative, so I'm glad that we have peace back in the kingdom, and you know, Rick is verified the way he should be.
I knew you'd be pleased about that. So let me ask you this. The Jets, or rumors or sources or whatever comes out yesterday, and I guess they're nowhere near making their decision. They still need to do their full, you know, reports on all these quarterbacks and determine if Darnold is better and what could they get via trade and all this kind of stuff. What's the time frame for when the Jets should know, as far as how close we get to the draft, what in fact their plan is to do this year?
Yeah, it's really mid-March, guys. They really need to have their plan ready to go by the time free agency starts, because if they're not going to extend Sam Darnold in terms of exercising the option, which they could do after the draft, they really should think about, hey, do we want to sign a short-term quarterback, try to trade for someone like Marcus Mariota, sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then draft Zach Wilson? These are complementary decisions. Likewise, if you're going to keep Darnold and maybe draft Penei Sewell from Oregon, then you're going to attack free agency differently. So while they may not say it publicly, their actions will determine very quickly early in free agency what they're going to do.
Mike, how much does what you can get for that second overall pick influence what you do with Sam?
You know, Rick, I think that's secondary. I think at the end of the day, we talked about this on Get Up yesterday, and we're going to keep talking about it, which is, I think you just got to sit there and say, who's better, Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson? In my opinion, I would take Wilson. I think after 3 years, what we've seen is Sam Darnold has shown some flashes, but he's just not as good a player as Zach Wilson. When you really watch Zach Wilson and see the plays he can make, both in the pocket, outside the pocket, arm strength, he's a better player. And I think secondarily you say, okay, we're going to move on from Sam Darnold. Can we get a second or third round pick from Chicago and then go from there?
Mike, I need you to help me connect the dots with Sam Darnold, because I've long said that if you're not going to extend his fifth-year option, then you're probably talking about moving off of him and finding another option at the quarterback spot. So when I saw that report by Ian Rappaport and others yesterday that said the Jets were going to evaluate all the quarterbacks coming out in this draft, there are people that are in the business that said the Jets are not expected to pick up Sam's fifth-year option. So if that is the case, then are we talking about Sam being done with the Jets?
Yes, I certainly think so. You know, if you go back to what happened with Chicago, they didn't exercise the option on Mitch Trubisky, and look where they are. They're nowhere. And I think you're in a situation here where if you're the Jets, you got to learn from that mistake, Chris, which is Sam Darnold the guy? Great. Extend, exercise the option, talk about a long-term extension. If he's not, then move on from him, because you're stopping progress. And if you're the Bears, you have no quarterback, and really it doesn't look like you have a plan. So I think those are very well, very much connected, Chris, which is if you're not going to exercise the fifth-year option, move on from Sam Darnold.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So you say you'd move on from Darnold and you would take Wilson. How do you have the quarterbacks ranked, though, between – I mean, there's a lot of them, right? Lance, Wilson, Fields. How do you have them ranked as far as who you would take to, and how close is it in your mind?
Yeah. I'm glad we're not ranking the three of you guys. It's, you know, that'd be much harder.
Whoa, 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 so. Whoa. It better not be a difficult decision, Mike.
I think it would be. You know what, Mike? Forget about my question. I'd like to redo it. Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, if you were drafting the three of us, where would you go? Where would you go?
You know, I would have to talk to Tim McCarthy, but I got to tell you, it would have to start with people who are verified on Twitter. So that's, you know.
Wow.
So anyway, as I was saying, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones is three for me, guys. I think he's a little bit underrated. When you really study him, I mean, everyone's going to talk about what they had at Alabama, offensive line, the weapons, all true. But he's a really good player, very accurate, very smart. My fourth guy is Justin Fields. And I think Justin Fields is going to pay a little bit of a Ryan Day tax. And what I mean by that, if you carefully study, like the Clemson game, for example, he played incredibly well. And I think Fields is going to be a good player. But some of these guys are so wide open because I think Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State, does such a great job. And then fifth to me would be Trey Lance, a very intriguing prospect from North Dakota where Carson Wentz played. He only played in one game this year. And if the four of us were running a franchise and we had to bet our future, it's hard to bet our future on a guy that played one game and say, hey, he could come in from day one and be our starter.
My former favorite guest, Mike Tenenbaum, joins us here in the show. Mike, with the salary cap going down to the 180, what are your expectations for free agency as far as, you know, it's being reported that, you know, you could see more, you know, one-year deals, you know, kind of like, you know, super teams being built up. What are your expectations for free agency?
Yeah, you know, to me, Rick, it's going to be the haves and the have-nots. And I think there's going to be a few guys that are going to crush it, that are just going to, you know, deserve it. Guys like Shaq Barrett, for example, Tampa Bay, he'll get a massive deal if he doesn't get franchised. I think, obviously, it starts with Dak Prescott. We're going to see what happens in Dallas. But I think the middle class is going to get really squeezed. And we go to Kansas City, for example, a couple of good players like Daniel Sorensen, a very good starting safety, Sammy Watkins, a good receiver. I think that middle class is going to get squeezed, and you're going to have really great veteran players and a lot of rookies and then a few veterans close to the minimum.
Mike, yesterday Cam Newton was on the I Am Athlete podcast with B. Marshall and Chad Johnson and Freddie T. And he said that, you know, he's one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the National Football League. And he said that he's not 32. What are your thoughts on Cam Newton as a viable option for a starting quarterback job in 2021?
You know, Chris, if we go back last year, it took a while. It took several months for him to get a job with New England. I was wrong. I thought he would have played better. Right now, he just seems like a skill diminished player that hasn't returned from the same level he was at before surgery. So I think for him, it may take a while, and he may have to go to a place like a Denver with a Drew Lock or someplace where maybe the starter isn't as established. But based on how he played last year, guys, I don't see him going in as a frontline starter from day one.
Mike Tenenbaum joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline, 98.7 ESPN. So I was reading something yesterday that said New England is looking at every single option at quarterback. What's your best guess? And I'm not going to hold you to anything now, 2 months before the draft even happens. But if you are Bill Belichick, if you're New England, if you're thinking of that mindset, what do you think they do this year?
Well, if you look at the history of Coach Belichick going back to Cleveland and guys like Eric Zier, and then all the way through New England, Tom Brady, Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, they're all really smart guys, like really, really sharp guys. Like, that's really important to him. I wouldn't be surprised for him to try to go after a veteran like Ryan Fitzpatrick, maybe Marcus Mariota, and then try to draft somebody. I think Mac Jones makes a ton of sense, the obvious connection, you know, with Nick Saban at Alabama. So we'll see how it plays out. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, at the end of the day, Dave, he goes veteran and also in the draft.
See, Dave, this is why me and Bill Belichick are so tight. Ryan Fitzpatrick, another Harvard guy like myself.
Oh, here we go.
Intelligence. So, Mike, I was watching, I forget which show I was watching yesterday, but it's being reported that Houston's not even taking phone calls right now about Deshaun Watson. What is their end game? What exactly are they doing right now at the moment?
You know, Rick, worst case scenario for them is if they do nothing, which I understand. And then they get into September and he doesn't show up. And I think if you have to make a decision, you have to say, hey, David Culley, Cal McNair, Nick Cassero, get in a room and say, we're going to go a calendar year and we got to wait this thing out. Or you got to trade him tomorrow. Because if you wait and then capitulate in September, that's worst case scenario. So if I'm them, you're either in this for the long haul or trade him for a massive draft haul and move on. But you can't be anywhere in the middle. And that's where I'm concerned this thing winds up, because – If you get to September and he doesn't show up, it's really going to be a very difficult situation for Houston.
Mike, yesterday Michael Silver of NFL Media reported that a third of the league was calling the Seahawks about Russell Wilson and that those teams came away with the belief that any conversations for trading for Russ would involve three first-round picks as the base of a deal. Now, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like if a player was untouchable, there wouldn't be a framework for a potential trade and compensation coming back to the team. So I guess my serious question to you is, could we talk about Russell Wilson being traded at some point in the next calendar year from Seattle?
Yeah, Chris, I saw the same thing and had a similar thought, and I think where we are, guys, is a historic NFL offseason, and Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, we've talked about Deshaun Watson, and most notably now Russell Wilson. If they're on different teams, we are looking at a new era in the NFL where it's a lot more like the NBA, and boy, it's fascinating. And I think if you're Seattle, you're probably saying, hey, this guy's over 30, and if we get three first-round picks, maybe we should take it. And the fact that no one denied that report tells me there's a lot there.
Mike, as always, we appreciate you. We appreciate your verification on Twitter. You wake up very early, by the way. When there's a tweet sent out at like 4:30, 4:40, you're going to be on the show. I noticed before 5 o'clock in the morning, that's been retweeted by you.
Well, I appreciate it. I take X2Performance.com. It's an all-natural, healthy performance drink that gets me going early morning so I can get up and listen to you guys. And all three of you guys would be my first-round pick. So it's always great to be on with you.
You're copping out there. But all right, we love you anyhow. Mike, great stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, good stuff.
A lot of pressure going first overall. I'll take the. I would be happy going second.
Well, you've gone first overall. You've lived
that.
Didn't work out.
That didn't really work out well.
I think it'd be better going first overall than being a fourth round pick.
Depending, I mean, being a sixth round pick worked out for Tom Brady.
Good point. Fair point.
Was he 199?
You believe Henrik Lundqvist was a seventh round pick?
That's crazy. Did they not expect
insane.
Him to come over and play in the NHL?
Yeah, that was a different time. It was concern, yeah, that he would stay over in Sweden.
Right. So if he was like an American-born goalie and you knew he was going to be here, there's no way he would have gone in the seventh round.
No, there's no chance with how good he was, no.
Do you know how big the NFL draft used to be like 15, 16 rounds?
No, I know. I get
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
And you probably watched all the rounds.
I don't think it was even televised when you're talking about it.
Yeah, well, I didn't even think it was fully televised yeah. back in the day. They used to do it at like a hotel room, like a banquet
hall.
It was in
Manhattan. It was the Hilton or something, Dave?
Yeah.
Dave, what would you give? Now. What would you, as far as, I don't know how to frame this question.
Take your time.
If you were, what would you give to have the opportunity to actually sit in the Giants draft room and participate?
I mean, what are you looking for, like a an organ or
No, I'm not looking for an organ. Like, where would you put that? Like on sports experience? I guess that's how to frame it.
I would love that.
I feel like that'd be right up your alley.
Oh, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
But here's my concern. I used to write letters all the time to the Giants. Here's my worry is that I'm sitting there and they're like, you have to sit in the corner. You have to be quiet. And then they're like, we're going to take Andrew Thomas four. I'm like, no. Hang on a minute, Dave. We can't
He's
do that.
Terrible.
That's my worry.
No, but I think part of the experience would be, like, you just don't have to, like, it's not like, hey, Dave, you can be in the room, but just sit there and keep your mouth shut. Like, part of the experience
like I can be
like,
involved?
Well, you don't make the decisions, but they'd be like, yeah, so, Dave, we're thinking about Andrew Thomas. What do you think?
Like that kind of party.
Oh. And you could give your opinion.
How great. You know what? Honestly, I would love to do it at any level in any sport. Like, if you told me I could be in the Rangers war room or the Islanders war room and just to see how it goes down, I would love that. Wouldn't you?
Every second of it.
Have you ever done it with hockey?
I've done free agency. I didn't get to sit in the whole drafting process. I was there for some free agency stuff, like trying to help recruit players and stuff.
That's got to be pretty cool though, no?
Yeah, it was really cool. But I mean, with the draft, you start talking about all the different things, like psych exams and all the different things that go into actually making the selections.
Talking about shaping the franchise. Be unbelievable.
Dude, I'm telling you, like Mike Milbury pointed, like one of the reasons why he drafted me where he drafted me was because we're doing some like during the combine, we're doing, you know, a bunch of tests and everything else. But it's like a herd of cattle, right? Like you got no shirt on, you're going through all these like different exercises and everything else. And you're not even paying attention to who's watching. But I guess he was watching me do a grip strength test. And I got, like, my hand was sweaty, and I was doing it initially, and it slipped. And the guy was going to give me a score. And I was like, no, we're not doing that. I'm doing it again. My hand slipped. And I was, like, persistent about, no, I want to do this again. I can get a better score. And he saw me do that and was like, oh, this guy's a really competitive guy. But he actually played, like, that was baked into him making the decision.
That's kind of concerning and amazing, though, all wrapped up into one.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.